Welcome. It's great to be back with you today. It's been a few weeks, but if you've missed any of the last few weeks, I'd encourage you to head to the YouTube page at Good Life Community Center and check out some of the messages that we've had. Really grateful to James and Rod for what they shared last week at Anzac Day. It was really special. So if you missed that, make sure to check that out. We're excited to be kind of moving into a new series, a new season. We're going to be looking at some of the core tenets that make good life good life. And a core tenet is simply a main principle. You know, it's the DNA in which we have here at Good Life. And if you remember, Stephen talked about them back in February when we had our Pioneer Again Sunday. And he talked about six that are really important to us. They're our core tenets. And they're transformation, they're community, they're families, it's people development, it's justice and mercy, and it's gatherings. And we're going to take some time over the next few weeks to look more closely at the core tenet of justice and mercy. So today I'm going to talk broadly about this idea, and each week we're going to drill a little bit more deeply down into different ways that we've all been invited into this journey of justice and mercy. And what's so great is that the scripture is so rich with texts about justice and mercy. And so let's look at a few of those right now. It says in Lamentations 3:22 through 24, "The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. And I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him." Another verse is in Jeremiah 22, verse 3. This is what the Lord says. "Be fair-minded and just. Do what is right. Help those who have been robbed. Rescue them from their oppressors. Quit your evil deeds. Do not mistreat foreigners, orphans, and widows. And stop murdering the innocent." And again, we have the same kind of idea in Psalm. Psalm 146, 7 through 9. "He gives justice to the oppressed and food to the hungry. The Lord frees the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are weighed down. The Lord loves the godly, and the Lord protects the foreigners among us. He cares for the orphans and widows, and he frustrates the plans of the wicked." I remember taking in spiritual gifts inventory once. I love those things, right? The information's all laid out for you. You answer questions, and if you've never done one, I would encourage you to take one. Begin a journey on understanding really what God's invited you into and the gifts that he's given you. But I remember taking one and getting the email and opening the graph and seeing all the things laid out for me, what I was really good at, what I wasn't really great at. And you know what? Wouldn't you know it, at the top was justice at almost 90%. And then I quickly looked to the bottom and saw mercy at a 2, right? Wouldn't you know it? I love the idea of justice. I love the idea of being right. If you've known me for a long time, you know I've struggled with a commitment of being right, of always needing to be right. And sometimes that's happened at the expense of mercy, the expense of being kind. And you know, I think we've all known people who were one way up really high or really low at one thing, and somebody who's really verbal, maybe someone who's really doesn't like to talk much, right? And it's almost like a seesaw, right? Like that we pit these things against one another. You know, maybe you've heard the saying, "He's no earthly good because he's so heavenly minded," right? I think it's normal for us to kind of pit these attributes or these expressions against one another. And you know what? We do that with God too. We think that, well, he's all one way or all another way, that he's got to be all justice or he's got to be all mercy. He's got to be all love or he's got to be all truth. And the truth is these are expressions of God's essence. But what really comes out in Scripture is who God really is. And Scripture is very clear in teaching us that God is love. So Scripture teaches us that God is love, right? Like, what does that mean? It's easy to talk about love. it's easy to say that God is love and kind of feel this emotional thing, right? I love my wife. That's an emotional thing. It's a choice. I love my kids, but I also love barbecue, right? Is that the same thing? And I think Scripture teaches us really kind of what this love is and why it's used as a word to describe the true essence of who God is. And the word that we get for that is probably one that most of us are familiar with. It's this word agape, right? In the Hebrew, it's this idea or this word called hesed. It's kind of the closest that we can get to agape. But this idea of agape love, this unconditional love, it really means to work towards the ultimate good of another person, right? And so that's what God's doing. God's working for our ultimate good, and he's using these expressions of his character to get us to that place, to help us to become more like him. And so mercy and justice are expressions of this love, right? And so it says God is love, right? 1 John 4:8, and again in 16. But what does this love look like? How is this love expressed? And John does a great job of kind of showing us and setting this up for us, even just a chapter before, when it says that this is how we know what love is, right? Jesus laid his life down for us. And so we should lay down our lives for others or our brothers and sisters. There's a couple of really important things I think that we should take note of in that, right? And first, it's this idea that the sentence structure here is one that's kind of flipped, right? It says that Jesus laid his life down, and we would think maybe logically that it means then we should lay our life down for Jesus, but it doesn't say that. It says that we should lay our life down for others, that we should be like Jesus and lay our lives down, that this is kind of how we show mercy and justice. This is how we show love, by laying our lives down for others, right? And the second thing that I think is important for us to know is that this love that God has for us, it has an expression. It's embodied in Jesus giving up his life, right? And this is what James spoke about so specially last week, you know, that this sacrifice that Jesus gave us so that we could have peace with God was an expression of his love. And I think it's important for us to understand on our own journey, right, for mercy and justice, to be a part of what God is doing in the world to express these different attributes, that we fully understand that it first starts with the love of God, and that's who God is, right? But now we know who God is. He looks just like Jesus, and this love has been expressed in Jesus' life and his teaching and his laying down of his own life. And now he's asked us to do the same thing, to lay our life down for others. So now we know who he is, but what does that mean for us? What does he require of us in this? And so we're going to look at Micah chapter 6. It's a book in the Old Testament, a minor prophet, and it might be one of the most familiar and most famous passages about mercy and justice and what God requires of us. So turn in your Bibles. And we're gonna find a spot up here on the road, and we're gonna get into Micah 6, 1 through 8. So this is what Micah says, right? In verses 1 through 6, we get the Lord's case, right? He's bringing a case against the people. And it says, "Stand up, plead your case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear, O mountains, the Lord's accusation. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth, for the Lord has a case against his people. He's lodging a charge against Israel. What have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me. I brought you out of Egypt. I redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you with Aaron and Miriam. My people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, counseled and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered. Remember your journey to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord." Right? And so he's bringing his case against the people, and this is what the people respond with. "What shall we come before the Lord and bow down before our exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves only a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression or the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? And this is what's answered in verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what the Lord requires of you, to act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly before your God. Right? And this is kind of that magnus opus, this high pinnacle of what it means to act justly and to love mercy. Right? To act justly, it is a righteousness, right? It's a right decision about something, right? And it's not a right decision about me, but it's a right decision about others, right? It's about how I treat the fatherless. It's about how I treat the widow, how I treat the orphan, how I treat the outsider, those who can't speak for themselves. And to love mercy, right? Not only to act justly, but to love mercy. And mercy is nothing more than an intentional kindness, right? To choose to be intentional in my kindness towards those people, towards those who think differently than me, those who look differently than me, those who act differently than me. And really the only way that we're able to do this is if we walk in humility. And that's what Mike is saying, right? To love justice, to act with mercy, to walk with humility. And for me, right, I know, as we said earlier, I've often seesawed between being justice-oriented at the expense of kindness. And that's a journey that I'm on. And I've learned, right, that I'm not gonna become kindness instantaneously. But God's helping me with it. It's a fruit of His Spirit. And so I'm learning. But I've got some simple tips that maybe will help you in this journey, because over the next weeks we're gonna be looking at justice and mercy, and we're gonna be looking at it through a bunch of different lenses, through a global kind of lens with compassion, and a regional lens with another leader, and maybe even some local people here around the coast who walk in these ways of justice and mercy. But that's what it means to them. What does it mean to us? What does it mean to me? What does it mean to you? And I think it's simple. For myself, I think it really distills down to, how do I love the person in front of me? How do I act intentionally, and kindly, and in a right way, a righteous way, towards the person that's in front of me? And for me, that's the people closest to me. And I struggle. I think we all, in some way, shape, or form, will struggle a bit with that. But I've got some tips that maybe will help you. There are three things, and a couple of them I stole from Bob Goff when I was reading his book, Everybody Always. The first is to know and to see the person across from you as beloved by God, to being made in the image of God, to seeing them, even though they might be different or they might think differently than you, that they're loved by God the same that I'm loved by God. And I know that's hard, especially if we're committed to being right. Maybe I won't speak for you. It's hard for me. But the second thing is like it. And if you're having trouble seeing that person across from you as being beloved by God or made in the image of God, the second thing is to take another look, to take a longer look, to see that there is something there that is in the image of God, that is beloved by God. And then the third thing, if you're still struggling, right, with one and two, the third thing is a refusal, right, a choice that we make to not speak or believe negative things about people, right, to not say or believe negative things about that person that's in front of you, but to love mercy, to act justly, to be intentionally kind, to work towards the restoration and the redemption of these things is for me what it means to be on this journey, to learn to live with justice and mercy. And so I hope that you'll go on this journey with us. I hope that these words from Micah will find a place in your heart. And we're going to take some time now to jump into a song that Craig and the team are going to sing for us. And it so beautifully exemplifies this journey of loving like Jesus loved, of being merciful, of walking in justice. So let's take some time to reflect on these words.
I'll be patient, I'll be kind, and I won't want what isn't mine. That's the way that you love. Without it, I am nothing at all. I'll be humble, I won't boast. I will care for others most. That's the way.
Was so good. It's an opportunity for us to reflect, right? And again, this is not an easy journey. I'm reminded of the story in Luke chapter 4 where Jesus comes to his hometown, right? And they hand him the scroll, and he opens it up, and he opens it to Isaiah, and he reads about this prophet who talks about, "This is the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me." Right, he's anointed me to preach good news, to bind up the brokenhearted, to release the captives, to free the bondage, to act with justice, to act with mercy, right? This whole idea. And you know what? Everyone was ready to sign up and get on board and do it. Actually, that's not the way it went at all. They rushed him out of town, and they tried to throw him off of a hill. They tried to kill him. And scripture's really interesting here. It's like Jesus just kind of walks right through them and escapes, right? And I think the important thing for us to know is that when we go on a journey of justice and mercy, when we go on a journey of expressing and embodying the love of God, it may set us up for rejection, but Jesus is with us, right? He's with us all the way, and He's giving us, right, His Spirit in order to empower us to walk in that same justice, in that same mercy, in that same humility. And like, that is the best news, right? Because not only has He brought me into His family, He's giving me the strength and the ability to live like He lived. And so I hope that you'll go on this journey with us the next few weeks as we look at this core tenet, right? This main principle of what it means to live with justice and mercy, to be a part of that in our community and around the world. So thanks for coming on this journey with us today.